Walk worthy of the Lord is a great song to sing on the day that we remember the baptism of Christ our Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and pray that His Spirit would fill each one of us that we might hear His word for us this day. Lord God, we're surrounded by so many voices, all of them call for our attention. There's one thing that we need to hear. That is your word. So fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit that we might hear your word this day. Use your word to accomplish your purpose. Mold and shape and conform us into the image of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen and amen. So our reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 3, verses 15 through 22. As the people were in expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water. But he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he preached the good news to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he locked up John in prison. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, my beloved Son, with you I'm well pleased. This is the word of the Lord. In my congregation in Oklahoma, I had a gentleman by the name of Tom Collins. I may have told you his story before. Tom had been an alcoholic. Tom wouldn't mind my telling you, he'd been rode hard and put up wet. Tom Collins is a rather ironic name for an alcoholic, isn't it? Tom and I sat at the coffee table most every morning at 7 o'clock. I called it the Liars Club. There wasn't a lot of truth-telling going on there. But nonetheless, after getting to know Tom, Tom began to come to church. Came to the early service, sat on the back row. I assured him we'd had it architecturally checked out. The engineers had given it a good, sound bill of health. The doors were not going to fall down when he came in. Every Sunday, Tom was in the back row, same place, my left, right where Ron is sitting. And he'd take his place there every Sunday. Never missed a Sunday. On this day, I did there as I like to do here. I invited the congregation to come up and put their hands in the waters and remember their baptisms, remember the grace of God that had been at work so much in their lives. And as each one came forward, I had the joy. It was the first service, so it was a little more intimate. And I called them by name, and as Tom came up and put his hand in the water with me, I said, Tom, You are God's loved child. He's well pleased with you. Tom listened, looked up at me with tears running down his cheek. He said, I hope so. I said, Tom, I know so, because your faith and trust is in Jesus Christ. We come to this day, there are so many questions about the baptism of Christ. I think I shared with you last year, the one scene out of a movie that always comes to my mind is from that great classic, Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? Have you ever seen that? Well, if you have, you remember the scene I'm about to describe to you. They're gathered there down by the river, and O'Delmar decides he's going to get baptized. Pete, one of the cons, he's watching Delmar go down and Delmar get baptized. Pete goes, well, I'll be Delmar's been saved. Delmar says, that's it, boys. I've been redeemed. The preacher's done. We will quibble about his theology. The preacher's done, washed away all my sins and transgressions. It's the straight and narrow from here on out, and heaven everlasting's my reward. Ulysses wasn't quite sure he was so thrilled with all of that. He goes, Delmar, what are you talking about? We got bigger fish to fry. Delmar said, the preacher says all my sins is washed away, including that Piggly Wiggly I knocked over in Yazoo City. Ulysses says, Delmar, what do you mean? You told me you was innocent of those charges. Delmar said, well, I was a lion. And the preacher says, that sin's been washed away too. Neither God nor man's got anything on me now. Come on in, boys. The water's fine. Come on in. The water's fine. Water of grace. Water that reminds us of forgiveness, that our sins have been cleansed in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Water of renewal. Water of covenant relationship. Water that reminds us of the covenant love of God set on us from before the foundation of the world. Water symbolic of the Holy Spirit. There's one coming who's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Water that reminds us by grace we're part of the family of God. Water that reminds us of the same thing that Jesus heard on the day of his baptism. You're my beloved child. In you, I'm well pleased. It's interesting that even the most skeptical of the New Testament scholars, those who question a lot of the things that we find on the pages of the New Testament, they almost all agree on the historicity of this event. The baptism of Jesus, they would maintain, happened as certainly as any event in the gospel. They come to that conclusion because the three synoptic gospels record it. They come to that conclusion because the early church, let's face it, this is a story they wouldn't have told if it had not been true. They wouldn't have told this story if it hadn't been true because they weren't sure how to explain it. What does it mean that Jesus was baptized? I thought he was sinless. What does all of this mean? That Jesus would have been lined up with the crowd for baptism that day. Matthew points out that John himself was uneasy about that. John said, whoa, Lord, we got these roles reversed. You need to baptize me, not me baptize you. He wasn't sure what to do with all of this. Luke gives it a little bit of press, but not more than is necessary. He mentions that Jesus was baptized, but he mentions it after John's in prison, and in reality, it happened before that because John is the one who baptizes Jesus. Mark only allows the baptism of Jesus 3 verses. That's it. We jump from the birth to this occasion, which marks the beginning of the public ministry of our Lord. We jump from birth. There is one story sandwiched in between. Jesus is born. The next story we get is Jesus at the age of 12 when he goes to the temple and he astounds everyone that is here by the things that he said. Then Jesus goes back home and we don't hear from him again for the next probably 18 years. And then one day it's time. It's time to put the closed sign on the carpenter's shop. In the words of Ulysses, we've got bigger fish to fry. Jesus was to be about his Father's business. He came to save his people from their sins. That's what he must be about. There's this huge gap. But one of the sidelights to the story, and it's almost a little bonus, is that I think this story reminds us that God is with us in the gaps of our life. 18 silent years, God was with Jesus. God was present. This was his son. This was Emmanuel, God in the flesh. We know that because of the voice that Jesus heard on the day of his baptism. You are my beloved child. The gap for you and I may be many different things. That gap may be a young wife who waves goodbye to her husband as he leaves to go join our forces overseas, and they wait anxiously with expectation for a reunion. This story reminds us that God is with us in the gaps. My nephew served 5 tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. And each time that he would go, we would remember him anxiously in our prayers, but I would be comforted in the knowledge that God is with us in the gaps because he is Emmanuel. That gap may be a marriage that is failing and the uncertainty that it brings. God is with us in the gaps of life. It may be the gap of the loss of a loved one. Now we wait for a blessed reunion one day. But God is with us in the gaps now. How do I know that? The waters of baptism assure us of that. This is a physical sign of something that we cannot see, and that is the grace of God. And the grace of God finds us and seeks us and never lets us go. God is with us in the gaps, waters of a covenant relationship, a covenant that cannot be broken. Our text reminds us, and if you caught it as I read it, it tells us the people were filled with expectation. Filled with expectation as they flocked to the wilderness and found John out there. Let's be honest, John was a bit of a weird duck. He wasn't the most refined of personalities. He hadn't been to all the right schools of a prophet. He was rough around the edges. He dressed in weird clothes and told these people to repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. I think it would be safe to say that John would not have been on the A-list when it came time to have a party. I think it's safe to say that John was a bit of an acquired taste. The people flocked to the wilderness to hear John. Why? They were filled with expectation. Perhaps after all these years of waiting, perhaps John is the Messiah. That's why they were there. That's what they wanted to see. They wanted to root their hopes in flesh and blood, John and John. John, rather than going, "You're right, guys, I am Messiah," said, "Oh, you guys are missing the point. It's not about me. It's about one that's going to come whose sandals I am not worthy to unlatch. There is a Messiah, and it's not me." He would see Jesus. "Behold, the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God slain from before the foundation of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God who gives His life that we might live. Behold, the Lamb of God," he points. We too are often filled with expectation. And quite often, our expectations are in the wrong people. We come to an election cycle and we're filled with expectation, right? Things are going to change. We question. We question and we wonder. I want you to hear the words of John as he pointed to Jesus Christ. "Behold, the Lamb of God." Hope, expectation as the crowds gathered that day. There's one thing we know for sure. As they gather at that old, muddy Jordan River, it was no ordinary day at the office. There's a couple of things in the text that remind us of that. The first is the one that we just pointed out, that the people were gathered expectantly wondering if John might be Messiah. They got confused. They got the messenger confused with the message, but John was quick to set that straight. John explains that Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. But the other phrase that reminds me that this is no ordinary day is in verse 21. When all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, here's the phrase: "The heavens were opened. The Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You're my beloved Son. With you, I'm well pleased.'" It is that little phrase, "The heavens were opened," that we usually just slip right over. But I think that's the incredibly significant statement in this text. And it's a quote from Isaiah 64 where the prophet cries out for God to rend the heavens and show himself mighty to the people once again. The rending of the heavens is significant because by this time, Second Temple Judaism commonly believed that with the cessation of the great Old Testament prophets, the Holy Spirit and God had ceased to speak directly to the people. It had been silent for a long time. But at the baptism of Jesus, the heavens are open. God speaks. God speaks in Jesus Christ, and in speaking in Jesus Christ, He said everything that needed to be said, and the one message that you and I need to hear, that in Jesus Christ, as our faith and trust is in Him, we too are God's loved children. God is doing a new thing. The heavens are opened. And it's not an ordinary thing. It is Him breaking into our world in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, and speaking to us. And it begins with this baptism so long ago. Spirits turn loose. The Spirit is turned loose not with water alone. The Holy Spirit in fire. God is doing a new thing. Here's where it meets us in 2019. Is God finished? Absolutely no. Absolutely no. God is doing a new thing in you and among you. God is doing a new thing as He conforms you to the image of Jesus Christ. God is doing a new thing as the Holy Spirit empowers you to proclaim the good news about Jesus, just as John did so long ago. God is doing a new thing as He draws men and women to Himself. And God is not finished. During the week before Jesus' death, Jesus was asked by those who arrested Him, "By whose authority do you do these things?" Which Jesus answered. It was the baptism from Jesus, from heaven or not. Jesus, why are you doing these things? What's your authority for these miracles? And why are you proclaiming this message? And He says, and goes back to the day that He was baptized by John. And here's what He says to us. I'm living out my baptism and the claim of God on my life. So how are we doing? How many of you were baptized as an infant? Good number. You remember that day? Every time I baptize an infant, I'm reminded of the fact that this is a day they're not going to remember. I take that child and I prance them around the auditorium and I carry them in my arms and I talk to that child, reminding that child it was for that child that Jesus Christ came into the world. It was for that child that He went to the cross. And that child looks at me with the blank stare. But with the covenant waters of baptism, we're claiming that child and trusting that the grace of God will do a work of grace in the life of that child. Trusting that in due time, that child will indeed come to faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You see, baptism is not the end. It's the beginning. It's the beginning. So here's the questions I have for you today. It's not, were you baptized a whole long time ago and do you remember it? Are you grateful for the grace of God in your life this day? Yeah. What have you done? What have you done today that you wouldn't have done if you'd not been baptized? You've done one thing for sure. You would not be here to worship and enjoy our God. Our baptisms demand that we struggle. We struggle with what's right and what's wrong, what's important and what's not. We're to learn to live wed. We too are to learn to live out God's claim on our lives. That's what baptism talks about. It is because of our baptisms and the inward grace of baptism and what it signifies that the people of God tell truth in a world that lies. It is because of the grace of God and the waters of baptism that we love in a world that hates. It is because the grace of God and the waters of baptism that we love in a world that is given to lust, that we make peace in a world that fights. We don't do these things because they're nice and wonderful things for us to do. We do them because we are God's loved children. Claimed and marked by Him in the waters of baptism. So today, We're going to do what we did a year ago. After we stand and affirm our faith, that's awkwardly placed, isn't it? Let me fix that. There. That's better. Maybe. Housekeeping. We're going to stand and affirm our faith. We don't rebaptize in the Presbyterian Church, right? But we remember our baptisms. I'm going to invite you to come. Put your hands in the water. Remember your baptism and the call of God on your heart and life. If you're not able to come, just raise your hand. My wife's going to bring, I coerced her into duty today. She's going to bring the font to you, and you too will be able to remember your baptism. There are little pebbles in there. I have one in my pocket. Had it for years. Little pebbles, and you are free to take one. This is not a good luck charm. This doesn't mean that this next year you got that in your pocket, all's going to be great. This is to remind you that you were God's loved child, marked and claimed by Him in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're welcome to take one if you desire and remember your baptism. Let us stand and affirm our faith. And we're going to use the words of the Apostles' Creed. And then I will invite you to be seated again. Just come and remember your baptism as you desire, or if you desire. Christian, what is it that you believe? In God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated, so we can be, as Presbyterians, we like it to do everything decently and in order, right? So I'm going to invite you, can from the outer rows, make your way down the center aisle and go back up the outsides. But I invite you to come. Come and remember your baptism this day. And if you are not able to come, the waters of baptism will be brought to you.